things don't go wrong, they start wrong. I don't believe I'm the most talented. I'm just the right person for the job. It's not how much money you earn. Mm-hmm. It's how you spend your money. Mm-hmm. My mentality is I can always start again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's never the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. The end is when you die. I can always start again.
Yeah. Hey guys, welcome to Financially Incorrect, a podcast sponsored by FX Spesa. Please remember, if you want to learn about trading, if you want to understand anything in that space, they offer free lessons. We also leave links in the description box for you to go and check out. You can set up demo accounts if you don't want to try out the real thing. But remember, you can book lessons. You can come and learn and understand this whole world. Fantastic place. FX Spesa, sponsors of this podcast, big on financial literacy. So today I have with me Eric Musyoka, right, an award-winning producer and the chairman of the Recording Industry of Kenya, a non-profit organization that has been set up essentially to try and protect and, I guess, grow, invest, and make advocate. A success, an advocate for producers and anyone who owns some recording intellectual property in Kenya.
Yes.
Welcome, Eric.
Asante sana.
Yes. Uko salama.
Kabisa, kabisa.
First, let me ask you, what kind of bike do you ride? I've seen your helmet. Looks very serious.
KTM 1190 Adventure R.
You know, as I've said that, I realized I know nothing about bikes.
It's a big bike.
It's a big bike.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you not afraid? No danger, no nothing?
Living is a risk, so... Yeah.
You might as well...
Investing is a risk, so I've invested.
Yeah.
In vibes. It's my detox mode.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It helps me go decompress after I've dealt with musicians.
Do you not... I mean, what's the highest speed you've hit on your bike, actually?
This thing is going to be recorded. My kids will watch and I tell them to go slowly. So just know it's three digits.
Three digits.
High three digits.
High three digits. That could be like 999.
The probability of being that.
Right. But high three digits.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, the bike has a top speed like 320. So
320. What did it feel like to move
after?
After
220, you don't feel anything.
Really?
It's just... It's like you go into a bubble. Yeah. Because now the way the bike sounds, the way the rev, the engine, you know, it's at a constant speed. Mm-hmm. So everything is just one. The gear is not shifting. Mm-hmm. The wind speed is the same. So it's very relaxing.
Mm.
Yeah.
But dangerous.
If you do that on the streets, yes. Yeah, definitely those speeds you hit in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah. Like we did Moyale to Marsabit is about 240 kilometers. Mm-hmm. We did that in an hour, 20 minutes.
That's something.
On the road, we only saw two cars.
Right. Must be a lot of fun.
So the road is practically
empty.
Empty.
Right.
It's just you and the road and
the
desert.
I wish I could do something like that. Yeah. I've ridden a couple of quad bikes, and every time I've been on a quad bike, I've had an accident. So I am deathly afraid of getting on any on two wheels for sure.
Try two wheels; they'll move the soul.
Yeah. Anyway, tell us a little bit about I guess Reiki.
So Reiki is an industry association set up to enable us to help artists. I mean, sorry, owners of sound recording.
Right.
Advocating for their welfare, policy with government from the political class and the executive class. Mm. So we are the mediators for that.
Okay.
And among other things, our core mandate is to certify album sales, digital downloads and song plays, issue ISRC codes, the International Standard Recording Code for any recorded works in the world. Mm-hmm. Currently, when you register your music to go online, the distributor is a partner with the IFPI, the body that we fall under. Mm-hmm. And so they give you a code, but we want to be doing that locally for our artists.
Okay.
So that code enables you to track your music anywhere it's used in the world. Mm-hmm. So it is very easy for you to collect royalties because you have an ID number. Mm-hmm. Your song has an ID number. Mm-hmm. Then we also advocate for anti-piracy. We are big on that because piracy is the way we lose revenue for some recordings. When somebody pirates that, we are losing that. And generally educating our members on the music business at large.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if I'm a producer or an owner, right,
yes,
of any music copyright out there, why should I be a part of Reiki? Like, why would it be important to me? What benefit do you guys?
One,
yeah,
IFSC codes. Two, certification. By certification, it's what I've explained,
right,
like
right,
when how many songs right. you have, and that it really helps in, you know, it's good for your clout and for you to know the value that you're adding to the music ecosystem.
Right.
That's why you hear in the US they're big on going platinum. It's mm-hmm. a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the Reiki of the US, which is called the RIA,
mm-hmm.
is the one that
that sets that standard.
Exactly.
What's our level of gold, platinum?
We are still in the formal stages.
I think it says like 25,000
is platinum.
Platinum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we should be not far from there. Maybe mm-hmm. around. We are aiming to put it at 15.
Okay.
15,000. Yeah, because actually America is the only one that has 1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's then I think Europe is 100 or 500. Yeah, it varies depending on the size of the market.
Right.
Yeah. Then after certification, then we do the chart,
mm-hmm.
charts, like the billboards.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
also the data we collect and enable artists to know how their music is performing
mm-hmm.
in the public space. And then an awards show.
Right, right.
Like the Grammys.
What we've just seen.
Yes. Right. So the Grammys are organized by the RIAA of the US. The
right,
RIA.
Right, right.
So that's also something that is in our pipeline. Mm-hmm. It's in our mandate, actually. So
okay.
like in South Africa, RISA does the South Africa Music Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And they give, I mean, they give artists a lot of clout.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, you cannot get Burna Boy for less than $1 million. He's a Grammy award-winning artist.
Simple.
Very simple.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the importance of those awards. But for us, our main focus is just try to improve the business environment,
mm.
the music business environment in this country, to make it a profitable business mm. with the right structures and the right policies.
Why do you think we've been unable to, I guess, figure that out for ourselves? I mean, technically speaking, I mean, South Africa, if I'm to look at it from a purely, and I hope people don't come for me for this, mm. but from a purely political standpoint,
yeah.
I mean, gained independence in 1994, was it? But not too long ago,
yeah.
I mean, in compared
yeah.
to us, right?
Yeah.
But they have those structures set up and we've not been able to do it.
Let me quote a very good friend of mine called Arthur Wandera, aka mm-hmm. DJ Space. And he always says, things don't go wrong, they start wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, our industry has just started wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When by the time artists were identifying their rights and demanding to be compensated and trying to align themselves with international standards, there was nobody to guide that process.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody did what they knew.
Right.
And in the process, it's become a mess
mm.
because everybody's just trying to implement something from here, something from here. We don't have a structured system.
Mm.
Whereas in SA, RISA started the music industry.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. In the US, RIA started the music industry.
Mm.
So
ours was backwards.
We are doing it backwards.
Yeah.
We are trying to fold the music industry into Reich.
Right.
yeah.
Right.
And there's a lot of baggage, political problems, trust issues that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
So if we were starting our industry, if Reich had been there 50 years ago, you'd not see the problems that MCSK is having right now
mm.
because there'd be a structure.
Mm.
Actually, in the developed nations, like, for example, US or SA, RIA has formed these CMOs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's like a system of how things are done.
Right,
yeah.
right. Okay. Question on someone sending me something here that's distracting me. But I'll deal with it later. But I guess question on, because when we were talking before, you were saying that the power is in the artist, but they don't they don't know, or they're not, I don't know, whether it's willing to come together. What is your whole philosophy around the artists having the power to change the system that's currently in place?
I mean, who creates the product?
Right.
You know, it's just like any other industry. The person who creates the product is taken advantage of, but they have the power. For example, in the coffee industry, when the farmers say they're not going to farm, the middlemen will come begging for them. If today artists stopped creating music and they say, we are shutting this industry, the people who are eating off this music, where will they eat from? You know, at the end of the day, they have the power. But also, sometimes they lack the knowledge because you're too engrossed in the creating process. You forget the business side of things. Mm. Another situation is you don't have the resources to, even if I have this product, where am I going to sell it? Mm-hmm. So you come, somebody approaches you from a desperate point of view and they take advantage of you. But at the end of the day, the bodies that artists elect to represent them, the power belongs to those bodies. So these artists have the power to change the officials in those bodies.
Right.
And put people who can go fight for their rights properly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Final, like, music-y question before we really get into it, right? What are your thoughts on Universal pulling its music from TikTok? What do you think is behind that initiative?
I mean, it's, I've been watching interviews and reading articles about it. I mean, a very interesting perspective I saw in one of the podcasts, which I'm tending to lean towards, they're just going to come into an amicable agreement because Universal grievances are TikTok is infringing on artists' rights by generating content using AI, which is cutting off the artists from the from the deal. But they are saying they're employing their technologies. And Universal is like, no, you can't do that because these are our artists and this is our content. So they've kind of pulled out to teach them a lesson.
Right.
But they are losing out on marketing opportunities to create viral
music
and viral content for their artists. Yeah. And because theirs is not really from a money perspective. It's not a financial thing. Because for them, TikTok is an advertising platform. They have avenues where they make their real money. So then they're just trying to safeguard the rights of the artists, the actual artists. So I honestly don't know how long the standoff is going to be, but I don't see it lasting long.
Right.
Because they are losing on one end and TikTok can just go the indie way.
Right.
Universal represents about what? It's 30% of the catalog on TikTok. So there's 70%
that's
more
still there.
Left. So, you know, it's two giants fighting. Who is suffering? It's the artist.
Right.
You know, in Kenya, we have Fali Wawili Wakipigana. So it's just two giants who are fighting.
Right.
And
right.
As an artist, I can really do nothing about it.
Right.
Just sit and watch and
hope for the best.
Hope for the best. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. I guess your own money journey or your money story.
Yes.
And my first question is, when you are starting as a producer, how many producers did you start off with when you were in when you're at Homeboys? I guess getting into the system, so to speak. And why are you the most talented out of the cohort that you were in?
Okay. I have a very controversial view on talent. I don't believe I'm the most talented. I'm just the right person for the job. Yeah. So we were many, but most of them, actually, a good number of them are still in the business. And the ones who have left have not fallen off. They've evolved into other things, into other aspects within the music and entertainment space. Ecosystem. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it's been an interesting journey. Definitely a lot of way more challenges, but you know, overcoming them has also been bittersweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when you say you're the right person for the job,
what
does that, you're not the most talented, but the right person for the job, what does that mean?
I'm able to execute your vision creatively well.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I can't produce steel, Dre, mm-hmm. and Dr. Dre can't produce curry. Mm-hmm. You see?
Right.
So I'm the right producer for that song, and Dre is the right producer for that song.
Right.
But we are both talented in our own ways.
Right.
Yeah, so that's my perspective on things. So I have an issue with this thing of best producer, best... I have a very big issue with it.
Right.
Yeah. Because I've not produced all the music in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a good producer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's get back to it. I guess, how did you grow up? What was your background like? I guess when you're in your household, what are the things that you're being taught about money, if anything at all? What are you seeing?
I had the best money teacher in the world, mm-hmm. my accountant mother. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's through what she has taught me that I've actually been able to create a career for myself, mm-hmm. and just follow through in financial matters. But I mean, definitely I've made a lot of mistakes, big mistakes, mm-hmm. like buying European cars. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Right.
Money pits. Uh-huh. Yeah, so such things, you know, okay. and just buying things because of the hype.
Right.
But then she's always at the back of my head just being like, no, that's not a good thing. No, don't right, buy right. that. Buy this. No, don't do this. Right. So it gives you time to... And... I mean, before I address that,
yeah.
there's a principle I believe in. Like, if you want to buy something, don't buy it that day. Mm-hmm. Go home and think about it. Maybe mm-hmm. 2 days later, the urge will have gone
right.
for wanting to buy that thing. And you'll discover maybe other creative ways of going around it.
Right.
Yeah, so...
Is that something that your mom taught you? Because that's something my mom taught me for sure. Oh, yes,
definitely.
Yeah, like, we'd go to the supermarket yeah. and we'd be like, oh, yeah, I want this toy. And it would yeah. be, you know, and, you know, we've accumulated, like, some pocket money and whatever. Yeah. And she's like, okay, great, but we'll come back next week.
Yeah.
And if you want to get it next week, then we'll buy it then. Yeah. And then, obviously, you come back the next week and there's a cooler toy.
Yeah.
So you don't want that one anymore and you want the next one. Yeah. And the cycle continued, you know, you don't end up getting yeah. don't end up getting a toy. But okay, so what did you, like, what were you witnessing in the house? Are there specific things that she would do? Was it a very direct yeah. Teaching or was it more just by what you're witnessing?
Both. Mm-hmm. What I was witnessing and what I was teaching. So my mom, she has a very frugal life and... She has a very big policy on cash flow is king. Mm-hmm. It's always good to have cash.
Yeah. Just to be liquid.
You never know.
Yeah.
So she minimizes a lot on expenditure, on mm-hmm. unnecessary things. So she's very frugal. Mm-hmm. So I remember when she was upgrading her car, which she had for like 14 years. Mm-hmm. We were with her. Mm-hmm. So me and my brother... So we were pushing her to buy this beautiful, beautiful X5 BMW. Mm-hmm. So she told us, fine, we'll buy it. So she cut the deal and everything. Then she said, I'll pick it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. She came back with a Honda.
She got to the dealership and was like...
Came back with the Honda. We weren't there. So she came back with the Honda. You're mm-hmm. like, hey, but yesterday you cut a deal for an X5.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't need that one. Mm. I'm okay with this one.
Right.
So... But at that point, of course, we were young. We didn't understand what it was all about. But right. I mean, right now I know better.
Right.
And yeah. Okay. So such things. And also just, I remember because I went to a group of schools and my room was not en suite. Mm-hmm. So I went and told her, no, my friends have a bathroom in their house. He has a TV. He told me, don't worry. When you're big, you'll build your own house and have your own bathroom. Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Yeah, and yeah. But as long as I'm the one taking care of you, this yeah. is the bathroom you'll use with your brother and sister.
Yeah, and it's fine. Yeah,
and this is the TV you'll watch, the three of you.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I mean, did you feel, I don't know, I guess as
even if you feel angry,
did you feel some type of way about what your friends were, I guess, experiencing in the lifestyles that they were having?
Of course, being a young, impressionable child,
yeah.
It rubs you in a certain type of way, but utadu.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, what will you do?
Yeah. Did you feel to yourself, you know, I'm going to make sure that I get enough money to be able to put my kids in, to be able to, so that my kid is the one with a bathroom and a TV in their room.
Fortunately, I thank God that's not, that thought never entered me. I never wanted to revenge because, and I've come later to realize in life that, I mean, that's coveting someone's property and coveting someone's success. So, funny thing, I never had that urge. I never felt like one day I'll revenge, I'll have my own things.
Yeah.
For me, it was just like, we don't have it, fine, move on.
Yeah.
Next. Right. Like, I had other issues to deal with and to worry about some things.
Okay.
So, for example, I'd see, like, for lunch, for break, she would pack for me carrots, cucumbers, onions, tomatoes, some mayonnaise. It's tasty. It's very nice. It's Then my friends have come with hot dogs, buns, you know. I'm like, oh, yeah. Do I want to open this lunchbox?
Right.
But right now, I'm like, damn, you are smart.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm like, my kids will eat all the cucumbers in the world.
Okay.
I mean, later you come to realize that was a healthier
version
of food. And like right now, you look at sausages, do I even want a sausage, you know? So such habits, I mean, they reinforce some things in you and teach you the value of options.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need this to exist. Mm. You know, you have the basics. But, I mean, we had everything, honestly.
Yeah.
We had everything. It's just that we didn't indulge in luxury. But we ate. If it's chapati, we ate like everybody else. Chips, we ate like everybody else. Sarit, we went like everybody else. We just didn't have a bigger TV in the house.
Yeah.
Because maybe my mom prioritized our education and savings and building a bigger nest for us to tap into when we are bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So when do you first sort of, if you can remember, have a conscious memory of the value of money and what money does for people in life?
Unfortunately, it was a bit late in life.
Late?
Okay. Oh, yeah, very late.
Yeah.
Because, and actually that came about when I got married.
You got married?
Yes.
How old were you when you got married?
26.
Okay, so for 26 years of your life,
I was YOLO. I was YOLOing it. Yo, my money is my money.
Okay.
It was so bad.
Right.
I would eat my money.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was given a car by homeboys.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be driving it and fuel. I have no money for fuel. Fuel dies, I call my mom. She comes, brings for me fuel. That's how bad it was. I had no concept of finance.
Right.
But my mom had that concept. So she kept me in line by default. Plus, then again, that sometimes, I wasn't a rebellious child.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't. So if she says no, whatever. Yeah, I move on. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel like she hates me or she's not interested in it. I'll just move on.
Right.
Because I remember when I was in a rap group and my friends, their parents would give them money to go spend when we go out.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, my mom is asking me, why are you going out?
Right. What are you going to do out?
Okay, if you're going out, see, I've given you pocket money for campus and fair. You save that money and take yourself out with it. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, she will not give me money.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to skip lunch so that I make sure I have money for Saturday
to go out.
She has not said not going out. No, you go out, but not on my tab.
Right.
Yeah. If it's my tab, stay at home. I can buy ice cream, we eat. We watch Melrose Place. That's the biggest show there.
So what happens to you at 26 that you then begin to understand the value and appreciate money?
Somebody's asking me for money. Now a wife.
Right.
I'm like, dude, okay, I need to save money because I've promised this person I'll take care of her forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot let her down.
Mm-hmm.
So now money starts having value.
Mm-hmm.
Like every coin now matters
mm-hmm.
because I'm not alone anymore. And mm-hmm. I mean, I never lived alone.
Mm-hmm.
I left my mom's house the day I got married.
Okay.
I never lived on my own.
Okay.
When I went to the States, I lived with my aunties. Mm-hmm. So my mom used to send me the money. Then I would budget exactly for what is needed. Mm-hmm. She would send me what is needed.
Right.
I mean, I have food, I have bus fare, maybe an extra $100 for miscellaneous activities, which really and truly I had none. Mm-hmm. So actually that $100, I saved all of it and bought equipment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I come back, I'm still living with that mentality, being taken care of. But then now I have to move out of
home. Because you're getting married.
Yeah. Then I'm paying rent. Now, what looked like a lot of money, all of a sudden, it's, hey, 15K is nothing.
Yeah.
When you're paying rent,
yeah,
it's nothing. So that you start now to feel the weight when responsibility checks in.
Yeah. Sorry, when you were getting married, what job were you doing at the time? How much money were you making at the time?
Yoloing with PUnit.
Yeah.
I was just having fun here.
Yeah. you had left Homeboys at that point?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had left Homeboys like 3 years because I left Homeboys to go to the US to study.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually, I won Producer of the Year. Then my mom had been kind of opposed to my doing music. Mm-hmm. So when I won that award, actually, we had been at loggerheads, but mm-hmm. in parentheses, mm-hmm. not
right.
not in a bad way.
Right.
Like she was like, she didn't understand what I'm doing with my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when that opportunity came, she was like, okay, actually, this thing is, can I help you make it better? Mm-hmm. So I told her, there's this school I've been wanting to go to. Mm-hmm. Take me to that school. So she organized, she paid for my fees. I went, and she supported me my whole stay in the US mm-hmm. for 2 years mm-hmm. when I was there. So I could just focus on my studies.
Right.
But then when I was there, I got called for a job. Mm-hmm. The first job that I made my first million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does that phone call come about? Or who if you can tell us, who makes that phone call?
One, my biggest mentor, mm-hmm. Mike Rabah, mm-hmm. who has exactly the same money habit as my mom.
Yeah.
Now that I know. Mm-hmm. They are cut from the same cloth.
Right.
Yeah. So even him, when I was working there, the way he handled his things, I was like, you're just like my mother. You say no to this, don't do this, don't buy this.
Right.
Because I used to be like, Mike, why can't you buy a big car?
Yeah.
I mean, you're driving a Datsun. Your peers are on Mercedes-Benz. I'm like, Mike, he's like, me, I'm okay. See, me, the car is moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me, I'm buying speakers. I'm building my empire. I'm not, these cars, you'll buy them.
Yeah.
Actually, Mike used to tell me, you'll buy these things. They are not going anywhere. And there will be better ones then.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were Mike's words.
Yeah.
So, even the salary he was paying me, I used to be like, this money is little. But I just wasn't organized. Mm. I was disorganized. Mm. There are people who are living with that salary, like paying rent, sustaining their lives on the same money. But because I come from, you know, Lovington, for me, this is money to spend with my chile.
Yeah.
Eat burgers and steers every day.
Right.
Buy for Angie. She used to come visit me in the studio.
Yeah.
Milkshake. Instead of investing.
Right.
Instead of investing.
Okay.
And actually, one concept Mike taught me was, it's not how much money you earn. Mm-hmm. It's how you spend your money. Mm-hmm. That's something I learned from Mike. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so where were we?
You're telling me about the first million.
Yes.
So you're in the States.
So the email comes. Yeah. There was no phone call.
Right.
So we have this job. We need you to come and help us work on it. Are you available? I'm like, hey, of course. I'll come back. So we negotiated and everything, the monies and everything. We finished. I didn't tell anyone I was coming. Mm-hmm. I just showed up. My mom found me watching TV in the house. She almost fainted. She's like, what the?
Right.
The guy who picked me up at the airport, Jack Rooster. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Jack Rooster. He's the one who picked me from there. He's the only person
who
I told.
Who knew that you were coming back?
I was coming. Right. My mom just walked.
And you hadn't finished school at this point?
No, I'd done actually 2 semesters only. Okay. I just done 2 semesters. I had 3 more left.
Okay.
In the course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just showed up. So, of course, I knew if I tell mom it's money and business, she'll calm down. And then when I'm here, she's not going to.
Now that you're here.
I mean, I'm 6,000 miles back.
Right. But do you book a return ticket?
I had a return ticket.
Okay.
I had a return ticket. Right. I had sorted everything. I had a letter from the school, which semester I'm going to join.
Right.
And everything.
Right.
I had organized everything before I came.
Okay.
In fact, I was so happy when the academic registrar told me, yeah, you can move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So actually, I was supposed, the project was only for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. But I mean, because of the summer break, I stayed an extra month. Because even if I went back, I was just going to bum.
Okay.
Because class was starting in...
a month later.
Yeah, a month later.
All right.
So I just hung around.
So you come back, make your first million.
Yes.
What do you do with your million?
I wanted to buy a Subaru.
Mm-hmm. WRX.
WRX. Blue.
The blue with the yellow rims.
Blue with golden rims.
Yeah, yeah.
Eagle eye. Was it the eagle eye?
Right.
But I don't have a bank account. So the money is going where? My mom's account. So I can't touch the money. So the money comes and she's like, why are you buying a car?
Yeah.
This car will do nothing. So let me invest this money for you. Yeah. And I left her with the money.
Did you, like, was it, what how does that conversation go? Like, are you like, but this is my money. Why are you telling me what to do with my money? Do you not think about setting up your own bank account to be like, just transfer the money?
But I'm going back to the US. So.
Okay.
And, you know, it's that's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's purely the grace of God that I wasn't a bastard child. I'm sorry.
Right.
Like, for me, my mom's word was law. And if she says no,
even if it was your own money that you had.
Yeah, move on. It never used to. And up today, I still have that mentality. Me, if you tell me no, I'll not bother you. Me, I'll just move on. You say you don't want something, fine. Me, I don't hold grudges. You tell me it's over. Fine, it's over. I leave you. I have another. You've not, me as long as you've not killed me.
Yeah.
What you've denied me, I'll attain it later.
Yeah.
And I'm patient. In fact, that's one of the greatest gifts I have. Me, I can wait. I have no problem waiting. So she told me no, and I'm like, whatever. Let's go back eat McDonald's. But also, I guess, making music for me is therapy. Mm-hmm. I just lock myself and just invent and create music.
But you want, because I'm trying to, because at the time you're what? 22, 23.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to imagine the mentality of a 22, 23-year-old who's just made a million and is being told, you're not touching this money. Or you're not touching this money to buy a car.
Yeah.
And you I mean,
there
was,
you see.
Yeah.
Subconsciously, you know she's right. This is a depreciating asset.
Do you though?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, okay, she's right. This car will just sit here and rot. It will not move.
Mm-hmm.
It will need oil. It will need to be sorted. It will just eat my money. It's not going to grow my money.
Mm-hmm.
So the subconscious goodness told me she's right.
Just
leave it. I mean, she's right.
Okay.
I may not see it now, but she's right.
Okay.
So the kind of person I am, I'm not I don't force issues. Me, you tell me no. Because even me, I remember the day, sometimes you do work and a client rejects your work. I'm not the kind of person who will be like, I should have done that better. I move on. Yes. Oh, you rejected it. What is my loss? Pack my bags, put it on the side and go discover something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go back to the States, leave your million in your mom's bank account.
Taking care of it.
Yeah.
So she invested it wisely.
Yeah.
So I came back 2 years later and I bought my first property.
With the money now that she had, with this million plus whatever.
Then she also now added me more.
Yeah.
Because she's like,
good job.
Good job. And by that time, post-election violence had happened.
Okay.
So I was like, I need to come back home. And just plus also now after I went back, actually now I stayed more in the US and the studies got intense and just there's this loneliness of just missing home. You just want to come back. Then I guess I also grew as a person because now I started seeing there are no job opportunities here.
Mm-hmm.
If I actually after that, when I came back, now I went for my internship and I happened to intern at Diddy's house.
Mm-hmm. Diddy.
Yeah, Diddy's house.
The one who has been.
Yeah, Diddy's.
They need juicy. Uyo.
That one.
Okay.
we had one of the guys, one of our lecturers, mm-hmm. Actually, our school was very well connected with the New York right. entertainment scene, because some guys were placed at Wycliffe, others went to Jay-Z's place, mm-hmm. then I got placement at Diddy. Some guys went to Sony. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, it's normal there.
Yeah.
But the experience here was very frustrating. Because mm-hmm. actually, winter now found me as an intern. Mm. It was the worst experience ever. Then I realized, you will never become an engineer in this country. First of all, I don't have social security. Mm-hmm. I'm here on a student visa. So getting work, these guys, you are not going to replace an American
right.
for this
right.
job.
Right.
So you'll always be a cable guy forever.
Right.
That was our work.
Right.
And we only come into the studio after the stars have left. Your work is to bring pizza, burgers. You see them.
Oh, you see them from far.
Yeah, you see them from far. They are there. Hi, Snoop. Hi.
Yeah.
They are uko mbali doing their thing. Mm. So I realized, actually, I have a better chance at home because I still have my networks and connections back home.
Yeah.
And anyway, I have nothing to lose going back.
Right.
Worst comes to worst, I'll just go to Shags. That's what I told myself.
But let me ask you about that, mm-hmm. because it sounds like your mom was relatively well off. And by relatively well off, I mean, it sounds like you said, you went to a group of schools, you're in a good school. If we fast forwarded with the story, but if she was able to top up on your million to help you, like it sounds like.
Yeah. No, relatively... I mean, she's.
Yeah.
I'll never be rich like her, let me just tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless I sell headphones like Dre.
Yeah. Yeah. So even as you're talking about going back home and the thing going to Shags, I'm assuming that's more.
Like worst comes to us, me, I can go to Shags.
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
I'll start again.
Right.
For me, I mean, it's my mentality is I can always start again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's never the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. The end is when you die. I can always start again.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I've built this, I can build it again.
Okay.
But that's how I approach things.
Right.
So I was like, I had a call with one of my very good friends, he's called Steve Kintu. Mm-hmm. And we wrote pros and cons.
Of staying
and coming. And I discussed with him and a few friends. Then I was like, I'll just come back home. It's the knowledge I've gained, it's more useful here than there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, at that time when you're making these decisions, you don't see, but there's just a third, what do you call it, an intuition. There's just something at the back of your mind telling you, you just keep doing it. You never know. You will never know. You never know. Mm-hmm. But all the indicators were pointing towards a prosperous entertainment scene.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so because I had seen where we started and I was seeing what is happening.
Yeah.
What the revolution of the internet had done
right.
to our artists, to our music. And artists were actually living off of music. I mean, we had the Namelesses, the Noninis. They were buying things with music money. I'm like, there's money here. So let me just come and tap into this pot.
Okay.
Kikiumana, LBF, I'll go live in Jags and herd cows. And
okay.
Or run my mom's businesses. That was my last option.
That was the last option.
Yeah.
So you come back to Kenya. What's the first move you make? What's the first financial move you make?
Studio. I built a studio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sasa Swali.
Yes.
You said you bought property. With the initial one point from the other payment.
Yeah.
So building the studio, where did you get that money from?
I borrowed from my uncle, my brother, and people who had money around me.
Yeah.
And some I had.
Okay.
I had some money.
Okay.
So I borrowed, I think, 200 Gs. Mm-hmm. But I made it very clear to these people, it's a grant. I'm not returning it. You are helping me set up. I showed them, I've bought equipment. My savings were X. I've bought equipment. Yeah. I'm done. Now I need X to build the studio. Yeah. But please don't ask me for this money.
Yeah.
Just give me as capital to start my business.
Yeah.
And I'm not asking a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't ask a lot of money.
Yeah.
I was asking for 10 Gs, 20, 50. Mm. I think the most I asked was 50.
So in total,
Haba it became 200.
Okay.
Haba 200.
Okay.
Then I had, I think, 30K on my own. Mm-hmm. So I had actually around 250 to start.
Okay.
Then I took my mom's SQ and demolished it and built a studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A very good studio for the size of an SQ.
That it was.
Yeah. Okay. Then my equipment was on the way because I shipped it. I couldn't fly it. So it took like 2 months after I came.
Mm-hmm.
So it found the place ready.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I started I registered the business.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I tried going back to Homeboys for work.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the spaces have been taken. The people are already working in those jobs.
Right.
So I couldn't fit into the ecosystem. So Mike told me to wait. So as I was waiting, mm-hmm. that's what I was doing.
Okay.
Yeah. But I didn't have to wait for long because business just started.
So as soon as the equipment comes in?
P-Unit. I signed P-Unit.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I signed P-Unit and took another loan from mommy. of 300K.
I like how you say that. So question. I don't know to what extent you can share, of course, because there's, you know, non-disclosures among other things. But what kind of agreement is this that you're getting into when you're signing P-Unit?
No, it's not. The agreement didn't involve money.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Let's start. Because I didn't even have the money to give them.
Okay.
So I partnered with P-Unit.
Okay.
Yeah. So I became a fourth member of P-Unit Limited.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were four equal partners.
Mm-hmm.
They would sing, I would make the music and market the music.
Okay.
That was my work as a record label.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the loan for, the 300,000?
To help record, shoot Jutusana, the videos, mm-hmm. you know, just facilitate business moving.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How long, this, but I'm just asking, how long does it take for that to take off from a business perspective? Because obviously there's the social elements of it, you know, being on the newspapers at the time or whatever the case.
We were very lucky, actually.
Yeah.
The music scene was very different then.
Mm-hmm.
P-Unit was already established.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to spend a lot on marketing. They were already a brand. Yeah. So it was just to elevate them from where they were to just a step higher. Good imaging. So the first thing I did was took photographs with Jim Chuchu
mm-hmm.
when he was a photographer. He's a very good photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So now we rebranded how they look. Now that fresh, those beautiful images of P-Unit, now that money went into that.
Mm-hmm.
Got better clothes, you know, just a better PR campaign, mm-hmm. you know, paid for medias and whatever, just to bring their name at par now with the Namelesses and the Noninis.
Right.
Yeah. So that actually, the bulk of the money went into that. And because that started around August.
Mm-hmm.
By December, we had shows booked left, right, center.
Mm-hmm.
Booked, fully booked.
How much are people paying you at that time?
At that time, our first show with P-Unit, the first show after I signed them was a month later, September. Mm-hmm. 17,000.
17,000
Kenya. And the guy still cut food. DJ Stone Ali Nyoa Chakula. So he gave us 12 G's to split four people.
Okay. Uh-huh. And question.
But now that's the phase. That's the phase now we were rebranding.
Right.
So the gigs that were coming were very stupid.
That was a month. That was a month later. That was September.
Yeah.
By December, what are you charging?
Oh, by the time we go to December, we are at 100.
By December, you're at 100.
So after that gig of 12K, and we are splitting four people.
So,
so in fact, that ended in the venue. Because we bought more food and more drinks. We never even went home with it.
Yeah.
So we split that money, it ended there. Then we still fell for this guy. He gave us a gig in Kisii.
Mm-hmm.
On a Friday. Mind you, SDA land.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's partying on Friday because Saturday they're going to church.
Right, right, right.
Hey, we rock up in the club. It's empty. There are four people. The guy ran away. So we are stranded in Kisii. We have no money.
Oh, the promoter.
He ran away. We are like, guys, we should have learned. This is the same guy who cut us food money. We should have just learned. We made a call to mom. Mom, we are stranded in Kisii. Please, when you see Frash, ask him this story. Frash went to surprise my mom for Christmas with a gift.
Yeah.
This year, last year. because of that gesture, my mom sent us 4Gs.
To come back.
To pay for our transport. We had nothing. Nobody has money. We're all just hustling here and there.
Sorry, I want to detail you a little bit from the story. At this point in time in your life, how are you surviving?
No, I'm in mom's house. Me, I'm at home.
Okay. So you're easy.
Yeah, me, I'm easy. I'm at home.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. That's clear.
I left our house the day I got married. The day. Not 1 month. The day.
You hadn't got to the apartment at before.
I had booked a house 3 weeks before.
But for the day.
I never slept in that house.
Yeah.
Until I came back from my honeymoon. In fact, the landlord was shocked. He's like, oh, you are here. I was paying rent.
Yeah.
That I had never set foot. We furnished that house on our way from the honeymoon.
Interesting.
Stopped Ngong Road, picked two chairs, went to Mr. Price, picked a mattress and bed sheets. Yeah.
And then...
And the gifts from the wedding, some plates, spoons.
And you moved.
We moved.
Okay. Sour. So...
So me, I'm at home. Man.
Yeah. So no, at this no point bills. Of the, yeah, you're no bills. Easy. Okay. Yeah. So, at what's the jump? What causes the jump from 17,000 to 100,000?
Jutu Sana. Mm-hmm. So, in November, we released a song called Jutu Sana.
Yeah.
The video was amazing. So, of course, we started getting in demand.
Yeah.
We became in demand. So, we started now getting serious people calling us. Mm-hmm. And actually, the first 100K were paid by The Insider, that magazine.
Mm-hmm.
They flew us to Mombasa. Mm-hmm. No, wait, Orange. Orange.
Mm.
Yes. Orange. We did a road trip to Malindi with Orange.
Mm-hmm.
That was our first 100 G's. Yeah. So now corporates are now calling us.
Right.
Kitambo, it was promoters and funny people in basement clubs.
Right.
Cutting us our food money.
Right.
Now corporates started calling us.
And did you have an agreement with the boys around this 300,000 that when money starts coming back?
No. That was my money.
Okay.
That was me. That was my money.
So at no point did you want to make that 300,000 back?
I wanted to, but...
You weren't going to take it away from the group?
No. Okay. We're partners. You see, because when you are shooting the videos, everybody has to contribute.
Okay.
I'm not the only one paying.
Mm,
yeah. Okay. Some things I'm paying for.
Okay.
But others, we are equally contributing. There's a video shoot, you bring your 20K, my 20K, like that.
Okay, okay.
We're partners.
Okay.
So even when money came, we're splitting.
Okay.
Four times.
Okay, all right. That makes sense then. Yes. All right.
But you see now, I was the one investing in all the music.
Mm.
Yeah. So pretty much their money, you see, they weren't paying me to produce for them.
Yes.
And that's why, as a record label, I own the masters.
Right.
Because I paid for that with my, the producer time wasn't paid for from the kitty of the group.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how it works out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we start getting our 100K shows. Now we start styling better. We start doing much bigger things. And now we go full throttle on production of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it culminated into Kare, where now we are being paid almost $1 million of Boba show.
Right.
Yeah.
How many of those shows are there in a year? Would you have in a year where people are paying almost $1 million or even above $1 million?
I would say on average 6.
Okay.
Yeah. 4 to 6.
4 to 6 shows in a year. Okay.
Yeah.
So for you now, now you have, I guess, P Unit.
Yes.
What's the next thing you do to try and generate more money from the studio?
Disclaimer. Mm-hmm. The way I've structured my business, I don't make money off of the studio.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I can't charge you enough to make money. I'll never charge anybody enough to buy the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you pay for my services. Mm-hmm. I just happen to do those services in a recording facility.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how I've structured my business. Mm-hmm. So I don't have walk-in clients who come and 20K nifanye track.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's not a sustainable business model.
Okay.
You'll never make your money back.
Okay.
So you invest in talent.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still investing in P-Unit and then now just exploiting other avenues of the entertainment business to make money out of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I just want you to expound a bit more on, I guess, the business model that you've taken.
Yeah.
So, if you're not taking in any, to this day, you don't take in any walk-in clients.
No.
So, any musician that you've worked with,
yes,
the agreement is project, similar to what you did.
It's a project-based or a commissioned work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Commissioned work meaning I'm paying you X amount.
Yes. We agree on your budget, what you can do. And I deliver the product.
What's the difference between that and a walk-in client?
It's a high end walking client. It's just that you will not walk in my space today afternoon and say, "Hey, I have 10K here to record today." I don't do that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there has to be some sort of, I guess, conversation beforehand and understanding.
I have to know the material. I have to know what you plan to record. How best can I give you value?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how many other P units do you have at that point, or do you start?
No, just P unit.
Just P unit.
Yeah. Just P unit.
Okay.
I focused on them at that point.
Yeah.
Of course, I had another artist called Monique. Mm-hmm. So we got Monique on board. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Similar arrangement, similar everything.
At what point do you get to a point where you think in order to move out, I need to make more money? Does that ever come across, or are you just making enough money to be okay?
No, of course, you see, you can't date someone for 10 years. Right. The kind of wife I have, you have to marry me at this point.
Right.
Right. And that's what I'm saying now. The sense of responsibility came about. I'm like, guys, I have a wedding in 2 months. Mm-hmm. I need to start spending my money wisely. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
So, of course, everything is set and, you know, now you have to move out and start a new family and start your own life. So now you start treating this as a business. So I became more diligent with how I spend money. So when we get paid for gigs, a portion of it goes into savings. Mm-hmm. Then the other portion now, actually, I used to divide my money into three. Mm-hmm. To savings and personal expenditure and to the business.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how I would split the money.
All right. So any bit of money you get.
Any money would always go three ways.
Okay.
Up to today. I still split it that way.
Okay.
Savings, personal expenditure, and the business.
Yeah. Okay. And by business, are you then buying
equipment? Better equipment. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Building better facilities, mm-hmm. and then now also investing in new talent.
Mm.
Yeah.
By new talent, do you mean up and coming artists? New artists.
Yes. So like right now we have mm-hmm. Brian Adra, we have mm-hmm. Concordi, I've partnered with Bonai. Mm-hmm. So the money that comes now, it goes into generating content for that.
And the principle that you work with these artists is similar to what you did with...
But now they don't contribute into the kitty.
Okay.
Yeah. P-Unit was already a brand then.
Yeah.
So they had some level of income.
Yeah.
Plus also I was starting. I couldn't support them fully.
Right.
Yeah.
But now...
Right now I can manage to sponsor.
Okay. Yeah. So after you get married, I guess, and now you're, moving on in life. When did you buy your first car?
My first car was... There was a car in the house.
Okay. That was being used. Yes.
Which I owned.
Yes.
But I never transferred to my name. But I owned it. It's Eric's car. Everybody needs my car.
Okay.
But it was just a family car that I took and started using.
Yeah.
Then, so my first car, there was good money that time. Mm-hmm. So my first car was a Land Rover Defender.
Mm. Okay, when you say good money, you're making your money purely from...
P-Unit's performance P-Unit. And my cut from the
performances, the company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also now I'm starting to get into TV.
Okay.
I've just diversified into scoring for films and mm-hmm. documentaries. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the same line, just music, just for a different purpose.
Right,
but
right.
For me, I only separate it for book purposes, but in terms of workload and scheduling, they're all, for me, it's music. Whether I'm doing for Brian or for Showmax, it's music. It's work. It's music.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are the different opportunities that then you begin to open up your, you know, producing skill to?
Yeah.
So there's music.
So there's that.
Right.
So, but mostly music for TV.
Music
and
for
just
TV.
Just audio production now.
Okay.
So I start mixing for TV. Mm-hmm. So now that's when now... I get into TV work properly. Now we start with changes. Mm-hmm. I start doing some branding for local TV stations, like mm-hmm. Theme songs, music, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. yeah.
And how much would you charge someone to do, how much would you charge the TV stations or the project?
It depends. And the budgets vary from as low as 50 to as high as a million. Mm. So it really depends. There's no really fixed. But what I look at is the commercial value and that how much time I'm going to spend on this project.
Okay.
But then again, also, not everybody has a big budget. Mm-hmm. And actually, majority don't have a big budget. Mm-hmm. Like, big budget projects are one. Mm-hmm. Like, could do that once or two in a year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's big money. Mm-hmm. You know. But those are few. But mm-hmm. then also, so majority of them are the average budget projects.
Okay.
That's, I would say that's 90% of the work.
And by average budget, you're talking about what is 500,000,
400,000? Yeah, less.
Okay. And yeah. How many of these opportunities are there? How many average projects are there?
Do you now, see, there are many. So now the volume compensates for that.
Right, right. Yeah. Do you ever get to a point where you feel like business is low, cash or whatever is low?
Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah. I mean, like the COVID period,
right?
I didn't have a single job for almost 8 months.
A single job?
Nothing.
How did you survive?
Don't count recording
musicians. Yeah, this commercial.
Yeah, commercial work. Yeah, right. Commissioned work and right. licensed. Nothing.
In those 8 months, then how do you survive? How did you survive?
Again, ulajipanga kitambo. So that's where now things like savings come in handy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just savings.
Yeah. Okay. You talked about a few quote unquote bad decisions that you've made. Bad financial decisions you've made.
Buying European cars.
Why do you say buying European cars? That guy sitting over there has a German car. And in fact, he was at the garage today.
But I have nothing against them. It's just that I have a very good friend of mine called Sheki. We ride together. And he opened my eyes.
Right.
So, you have to understand when these cars are made, they are designed to last a certain time.
Right.
But in that time, they're under warranty. Mm-hmm. And the market these cars are being sold in, people are not paying cash for them. Mm-hmm. Like these guys literally buy cars on credit. Mm-hmm. They use the car monthly, it's like a bill.
Right.
But for you, when it comes to this country, you're putting down millions to a depreciating asset that's not going to gain any value.
Mm.
Yeah. If you're struggling, or if you're not financially, if you can't buy that car over, mm-hmm. don't buy it.
Mm.
Me, that's my principle.
Yeah.
The car I drive, I must have the same amount of money in savings.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting.
So right now I can't philosophy. Afford European cars.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. The lane I'm in right now does not allow me to drive a European car.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the different things that you've invested in? I mean, the initial property that you got.
Yeah. So I built up there. So I live there.
Okay.
So that's my home. Then.
Which is where your studio is as well, if I'm not wrong. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I've split them. They're
right.
They're separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
Then of course. Some properties here and there,
mm-hmm.
Stocks,
mm-hmm.
Money market funds,
mm-hmm.
and education trust for the kids.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a big family, so I have to work hard.
when the kids come in, what does that do for you, for your financial
situation? You nyonga even more. You nyonga the belt more. You tighten the belt even more, yeah. So... But it's been a good journey. I can't complain at all. Mm-hmm. So, and again, I always go back to the principle of it's not how much you earn, it's how you spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. If you look back now, do you feel satisfied? I'm not sure how old you are. I know you're talking about you're closer to 50 than
I'm
where
closer
you come
to
from.
50 than where I've come from.
But do you look back and think you've made the most amount of money you could have made with your life so far, up to date? Or do you think there's money you've left on the table?
I personally don't look at it like that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, I know my potential. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you wish you were in a different... If I was in a different industry, in a different country,
mm-hmm.
like, life would be very different,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, I mean, money from royalties is not that much. But mm-hmm. if I was in a market like in the US,
mm-hmm.
things would be different. But... Mm-hmm. For me, I never look at it like opportunity wasted,
mm-hmm.
because this is what I have. This is what I know. Yeah. And until something else comes which is better, I don't know about it. Mm-hmm. The most I can do is just prepare myself for when that time comes.
Yeah.
So I equip myself with the knowledge. I align my priorities and my goals towards successful things. So maybe there's more to come. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But no regrets in that
Not
sense.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
But, apart from buying European cars. By the way, guys, please take that with a pinch of salt.
Yeah,
I still will buy a Mercedes when I've retired. It will be doing 10 kilometers in a year.
Yeah. But you'll buy one.
I'll just buy one when I have the right money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question, because this, I guess, came up from...
No, a Ferrari, actually. Yeah, Tim Lewis.
you've switched already.
No, a Ferrari.
Question. Because we're talking about this before we started the podcast. But on lending money, mm-hmm. right? Lending money. Yeah. What are your principles on lending money?
When I lend somebody money, I don't expect it back. Mm-hmm. So I only lend money that I'm willing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless it's a business deal, mm-hmm. whereby I can see this potential in the business. But somebody, Nikopeshe, you give a fraction. Just knowing it ain't coming back.
Yeah, whatever the bus.
Yeah, because lending money is the easiest way to lose friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you'll expect them to pay back. By the time somebody's lending you money, they're hard pressed. Mm-hmm. So it has you have to give money that you're willing to lose. If you're not willing to lose that money, just tell that guy, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but me nikupatia pesa na kupatia na roho safi. Like, right. I'll never call you to tell you, hey, you owe me. I will never. Because you told me you'll return it. So it's upon you to keep a part of your bargain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For this year, we've just started 20.
But I'll remember it.
You won't call, but you'll remember.
I'll remember it. So when next time you come, I'll be like, eh, but you told me.
Yeah.
What happened to the other one I gave you?
In your experience, what fraction of people have given you, people you've lent money have given it back?
One person.
One person. In your almost 50 years
one,
of living.
And that's why I remember, because it's that one person.
Wow.
One person.
What do you think that says about human beings? Or is it the society that we
I don't know. I honestly don't look at it like that. You see, also, you have to discern when somebody's asking you for help.
Mm-hmm.
Is it genuine help? What I can say is that majority of the people have given money genuinely needed that money. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a matter of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
So the few who have conned me never came back, and we are not in touch anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they are like 0.001%.
Mm.
Yeah. Who betrayed my trust?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would put it like that. Who I thought at that point their need for that money was genuine, but it turned out to be. It wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah. Because much later you realize, kumbe, this is a habit from here to this. Now stories come back to you. Oh, pia yu alinilimpatia, pia yu alinifanyivi, pia yu alinifanyivi. But majority of them, I would say 99%, was a matter of life and death.
Okay.
So just mtoe tu kwa hiyo shida ako nayo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. As we sort of wrap up, 2024, do you have a financial target?
No.
We've just started.
No.
Do you ever have a financial target?
Nope. Unrealistic expectations. Why do I want pressure?
So you just...
It is what it is. What comes, what comes... See, I know my how I'm dividing it. Even if it's 10 bob, this goes here, this... I don't do resolutions, I don't do that.
Do you think, and forgive me, I guess I'm going to play devil's advocate a little here. Do you think that potentially comes from, I guess, the background that you have?
Of course.
That there's I don't want to call it a safety net, but like...
Abundance mentality.
Yes.
I believe the cake is big for everyone.
Yeah. So that's what pushes you, abundance mentality.
There's cake for everyone.
Yeah.
You just maybe sometimes need to look a bit harder.
Yeah.
But there's... It doesn't have to be money always. It could be opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
It could be other blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, there are some jobs, for example,
mm-hmm.
there are some jobs you get, you can't explain why you... And that's why I'm telling you, I don't believe in that thing of I'm the best. Mm-hmm. There are some jobs you get and you're like, why did I get this job? You know, like, they could have called somebody else. But this job landed on me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... I mean, I'm big on the spiritual world of things, mm-hmm. and the world conspires to help you. Paul mm-hmm. Coelho, Alchemist. Mm-hmm. That book also changed. Actually, two books that changed my life. Mm-hmm. The Alchemist and 48 Laws of Power. Mm-hmm. And The Millionaire Next Door. Mm-hmm. Those are actually three books. So for me, I believe in abundance. I don't have to be greedy about anything.
But what happens in the spaces yeah. where there's lacking? You know, what happens in the spaces where, like, just genuinely, there's little? Like, how do you cope?
You just adopt. You adopt. I mean, like, a very good example, you know, like, when you look at people who live in low-income places, mm-hmm. they wake up every day and are hopeful that they'll come back home. Mm-hmm. Yet... You sit, you have a meeting in Java, two of your friends, you blow someone's salary. Mm-hmm. That person is a human being like you.
Yeah.
You know, they breathe the same air, do everything, different circumstances. But I sometimes put myself in the shoes, like, if worse comes to us, how will I handle it? And I put myself in these people's shoes.
Yeah.
Because I know, for me, my worst will never be his, will never be as bad as his. Mm. But if he can survive on that little, so can I. Mm. Yeah. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
If he's able to make a living out of that.
Yeah.
And I know my potential is nowhere even near below that.
Yeah.
So there's hope even for me. You know, sometimes I used to tell my wife, like, if worse comes to us, me, I'll be a watchman or an executive PA. Mm. Yeah, I'll just readjust my life. Yeah. I'll just shuffle a few things here and there. And of course, now you see, when you build wealth, mm-hmm. you realize that you can't fall below some certain place when mm-hmm. you have wealth, mm-hmm. not cash. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be rich and money comes and goes. But mm-hmm. when you have wealth, you are guaranteed that this is my minimum. Mm-hmm. And every time you make an investment, your minimum just
and what, grows. Give me your definition of wealth that allows for you to be like, yeah, you know, it's not going to go below the standard.
Like, you see, I have a home already.
Right. So yeah. you will never not have a home.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Then even if that home burns down, I have another land, I go build another house. You know? I'll not be starting from looking for land.
Right.
I already have, bought that, I have that.
Right.
I have some savings here. I can take a few and build another house. Mm. You know, like, you are able to cushion yourself from disaster. That's being wealthy.
Mm.
Like, yeah.
Okay. That's a really, really interesting take. Yeah. Did you have to convince your wife about this mentality that you have, or was she like, how did she buy into it?
She bought into it because she married me. It comes with a package.
But was it a simple discussion? Was it an easy discussion? I mean,
definitely. I mean, and
yeah.
I mean, before we married, like, those are things you discuss.
Yeah.
And money was top of the list.
Right.
Like, that's the first thing we made sure we've. The first thing she told me, first, she had a very good job.
Yeah.
She told me, just know that I'll quit my work to take care of this home. Mm-hmm. So you do whatever you do. If you know you can't do that, don't waste my time. Let me look for another nigger. Before we entangle too much, that I can't now leave you after you screwed me.
Yeah.
And I already told you.
So she told you that.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
did she tell you the lifestyle that she wants?
Or 2 years before.
Or did she say the lifestyle can be whatever?
Of course, we discussed that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't go below this.
Like, minimum is like.
Yeah, the minimums. Right. But the minimums were attainable. Her bare minimums were attainable. Very attainable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are some of the things we discussed. Okay. And that's what I'm saying. You have to look at building wealth so that every time your minimum is upping and upping and upping and upping. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, right now, all my kids have properties. Like, everyone I've bought for them.
How many kids do you have?
Many.
And I say everyone knows.
Just like, I have a cabinet of title deeds.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So in terms of, I guess to give them what you had.
Yeah, just to give them a platform to start. Yeah. Like, where you ukifika of age, you at least you can start here.
I mean, but Musioka, that sounds like you've made quite a bit of money.
I mean, it's relative, be, you know.
No, I'm saying relative to having, I've seen a gesture there of five, having a minimum five title deeds, including where you're living, right? In a one income household, so to speak, attaining the bare minimum standards.
I mean, again, it's how you spend, not what you earn.
Yeah.
It's how you spend.
Yeah.
I'll give you a very good example. And that's why sometimes you can learn from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a generator for the for the business. You know, so when power goes, I don't have to worry. I don't have to tell clients. In a steam, I'll have to record.
Right.
The guy who was fixing that generator, where I went to pick it, was in Kasarani.
Mm-hmm.
A four-story building, the basement had generators.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him, is Toyako una rent how much? He told me, no, it's not a rental space. Mm-hmm. I own the building.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that guy,
mm-hmm.
he looks like mtu akuchoma mahindi.
Mm-hmm.
But you can zarau him.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells you, I own the building. These are all my tenants living up here.
Right.
Him, he lives in a house, he's paying 5 G's in somewhere in Eastlands.
Right.
And driving an old car. But you see that guy, worst comes to worst, he has a safety net.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to show anyone that he has money.
Right.
Yeah. So I learned from such people that, and I wasn't paying even this guy a lot of money.
Yeah.
Servicing a generator was 3G, 4Gs.
Yeah.
And that guy will drive and come service that generator. He doesn't look at how I can service. He services for Safaricom. He does all these big companies' generators.
Right, right.
But even my 3Gs means a lot.
Yeah.
And that's the same way I look at business. I never say not to work.
Yeah.
But I have to evaluate what that work will take me to do.
Mm.
Also, if maybe I'm too occupied to do this work and maybe it's of, you know, small money,
mm-hmm.
I would rather give that work to somebody else
mm-hmm.
than let that client go.
Mm-hmm.
Or I take the job and I assign that job to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I never tell a client no. Mm-hmm. Unless you are a ridiculous client.
Right, right.
Yeah. Who is going to disturb me, you know, because right. I also love my peace.
Right, yeah. Right.
And me, for me, my main aim is just to keep raising that minimum to the point that I will not have to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My final question or statement was around, I guess, what I was trying to say, which was, I mean, you clearly, I mean, through your career, how many years have you been at it now?
27.
27. Yeah. I mean, you've made a decent amount of money, I'd say, from my perspective. Yeah. From what I've understood, do you think you've made more than the average producer in this country?
I know. There are people who are making bank.
Yeah.
Really good bank.
Yeah.
They're just silent.
They're just silent.
Very silent. Very silent.
Yeah.
I won't mention them, but I know them.
Yeah.
Oh, very silent. Very silent.
Okay. What do you think it is that has allowed, whether it's them or you, to make that
smart
that
business money. Decisions.
Yeah.
Nothing else. And just good opportunities and patience.
Mm-hmm.
Just being patient. You know. Wealth, aitakagi makelele.
Yeah.
You know, there's a podcast thing. There's a small group of friends we share information and you don't have to show anybody what you have. You know, just be content in yourself and what you have. You know, let it make you happy. Don't do it to make others happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just the principle we live by. And we are just happy. You know, if the three of us or four of us are happy, my kids have eaten, I've paid them at DSTV. I've taken them for a small holiday here. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Ambitions. You say you have no goal. You have no written down resolutions and goals for 2024.
It's as it comes, as it goes.
It comes as it goes.
What you just have is a mental map of where you want to go.
Yeah.
Because now over the years, I've known what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can smell bullshit from a mile away. This deal is rubbish.
Yeah.
Just leave it. Yeah. I know how bullshit looks and works.
Yeah.
When I see it.
Okay.
From experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know how good opportunities look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something I can say from experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you hope to retire into? Or do you think you'll ever retire, actually?
Of course I have to. I mean, I can't make music forever. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say cliche farming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it's... Honestly, I live a day at a time and I'll wait for that time to come.
Mm.
But I love traveling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I travel a lot. I ride. I mean, for me, it's... If I ever stop making music, perhaps I'll just go live a quiet life in Shags eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you leave the house you've built and then you go to Shags?
I'm already living there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I told my friend I have two homes. They're like, you have two wives?
Yeah.
I told him no. I have an ancestral home and I have
where you live.
Yeah. Okay. But I see myself definitely heading there very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm always there. Like, I go there a lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm always there. It's a small farm. And yeah. Not yet commercially viable, but
yeah.
I don't intend to do it like a commercial venture, mm-hmm. really. I mean, it's just something to keep you busy when you're old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because to invest into that to become a commercial facility, you'd need a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which at the moment, I don't think I'm willing to sort that.
Yeah.
Maybe after the kids are done with the university, they can bring in their money, I help them. Eat it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting conversation. I definitely did not think that it would go how it has gone. But that was Musioka, and really enjoyed this conversation. Learned a thing or two. This is the second person who's come on this year who's talked about the abundance mentality. Murugi Muni also talked about the abundance mentality. Yeah. So maybe it's something I'm going to adopt moving forward. Seems to be working for some people.
Yeah.
But that was that. Thanks so much for coming. And we will see you guys on the next episode.